today on Living on Every Word.
My God, why have you forsaken me? David wrote it, Jesus spoke it, and we've all felt it. Let's just be honest. There have been dark days of the soul that we have thought the same thought that Jesus spoke on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Whether it's a financial difficulty, an illness, or a marriage or family in crisis, we've all had times where we've thought, where's the deliverance? Where's the relief? Where are you, God? In today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher shows us 6 ways to respond in the midst of any struggle. As we study Psalm 22, finding strength to endure.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. You know, I look at this psalm, which is really a messianic psalm. It is a psalm of the Lord Jesus Christ. In it, you have 5 or 6 verses of Scripture that speak directly to the cross. David wrote this psalm, and then several hundred years later, Jesus Christ quoted it and spoke it from the cross. It's a very powerful, powerful psalm in that it speaks prophetically of who Christ is and what Christ came to do and the suffering that He went through on the cross. And as you look at this passage of Scripture, I just want to read just a couple of verses first off. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. There's something very interesting also about this psalm. David felt this. At some point in his life, penning this psalm, he felt this, and he wrote it. Jesus spoke it, and I want to tell you this, there's seasons in our life that we all feel it. Have there not been seasons in your life that you've cried out to God in such a way that you might not just say, my God, why have you forsaken me, but you have thought things like, where's God right now? Where is He? I mean, I've got this problem, I've got this struggle, I've got this uncertainty, this heartache, I'm bearing this cross, and I'm asking, oh God, where are you? Where are you, God? I mean, I'm crying to you day and night, I'm praying to you, and I'm asking for relief in this area of my life, and it might be an area of finances, it might be an area of marriage, it might be your children, it might be just a host of things in our lives that we struggle with. David wrote it, Jesus spoke it, and we've all felt it. Let's just be honest. There have been dark days of the soul that we have thought the same thought that Jesus spoke on the cross 2,000 years ago. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far are you from the deliverance, my groaning from this deliverance. Lord, where are you? I mean, I'm struggling, and I look ahead, and I say, where's the deliverance? Where's the relief? Where are you, my God? Where are you? And you know, when I look at this passage of Scripture, I think about a couple of things. Number one, when you're feeling this way, when you're feeling in the uncertainty that God has abandoned you or that others have abandoned you or that you're being persecuted or there is a trial and God seems so far, there's a strategy here that is so wonderful. I mean, when you look at how Jesus responds and even how David responds to the struggle, because I want you to notice something. Verse 1, he says, my God, and then in verse 2, he says, oh my God. In other words, even though God may seem so far away, there's this faith in him that says, I know that you're still my God. Even though I can't hear you right now, feel you, touch you, although you seem so distant from me today, I know that you are my God. You are still my God. There's times that we go through that are so dark. And we do. We wonder, God, where are you? We still acknowledge that He is our God. My God. My God. What a great thought that we were able to say that He, the living God of all history, is our God. And He knows in the midst of this struggle that even though God seems so far away, He is still my God. What a great thought to enter into any trial or any struggle or any heartache
that He is my God, and if He's living in me today, I can be sure that He is at work, even if my flesh and even if my mind doesn't think that God's working. I want to tell you this, God is at work. He's always working. Jesus said, my Father is working even until now. In your darkest moment, your darkest hour, the struggles of your life, God is indeed at work. And He was at work at the cross. Matter of fact, when you look at this passage of Scripture, you see several passages of Scripture that Christ quoted. We just quoted the first one in Psalm 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Mark 15:34 on the screen. Jesus said at the ninth hour, He cries out with a loud voice. And He spoke this, my God, why have you forsaken me? In Psalm 22:7, the Scripture says, all who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head. Look at the fulfillment when Christ spoke in Mark 15:29. Those passing by were hurling abuse at Him, wagging their heads and saying, ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking Him among themselves and saying, He saved others. He cannot save Himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. And those who were crucified with Him were also insulting Him. Psalm chapter 22, verse 8. Commit yourself to the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him because He delights in him. And in Matthew 27:42, on the cross, they're speaking. He saved others. Cannot save Himself. He's the King of Israel. Let Him now come down. And we will believe in Him. And he trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if He delights in Him. For He said, I am the Son of God. Psalm 22:15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw, and you lay me in the dust of death. John 19:28, we find its fulfillment. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture, He said, I am thirsty. Psalm 22:18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Matthew 27:35 is the fulfillment. And when they had crucified Him, they divided His garments among themselves by casting lots. And you know, there's one more. It's in verse 16. And I want you to notice what it says in your Bibles. It says, for dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers have encompassed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Wow. A prophetic word through the sufferings of the King of Israel, of David. And yet here's this prophetic word that would speak of the crucifixion of Christ. They knew nothing of Roman crucifixion. They knew nothing of pierced hands and pierced feet. Yet David would say prophetically, they pierced my hands and my feet. Do you know somebody? Or you may be the person that's struggling with the authenticity of who Christ is. That Christ is the Son of God. That He did die on a cross. That He did die for you. And you may be struggling today with that kind of belief. And you may have someone in your life that is struggling with this belief. Open up the pages and say, look at this. Several hundred years before crucifixion, it's prophesied that the Son of Man, the Son of David, who is speaking this, will be crucified one day for the sins of the world. See, I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about David and I think about his life and I think of all the struggles he went through, and he penned this word under struggle, under duress. And I often think about a passage of Scripture. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I want you to turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 30. David has been on the run. The kingdom is divided. There are a group of people, probably 400 or 500 people that are with him. And he's on the run from Saul. Now, he's already known that the prophet has come, has anointed him with oil. He knows his future. But I want you to notice what happens in this horrible time of uncertainty in his life. Horrible time of trial in his life. Notice verse 1. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire, and they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. Now when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. And so David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive. Verse 6, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one, because of his sons and his daughters. Now, I'll ask a question. What would be your response to this trial? I mean, he's just, for all practical purposes, lost his children and his wives, all the men that have been following him, all his faithful, valiant men who are having such great hope in his leadership, hope in his kingship and rule, are now wanting to stone him because their wives and their children are also gone. They don't know if they're dead. They don't know if they're alive. Listen, they don't know what's happening to them at that very moment. And so they are embittered against this man, David, and they're picking up stones to stone him. But the scripture says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. What a choice. And I want to tell you, you can have that choice every time you go through a trial, a struggle, a difficulty. The choice to strengthen yourself in the Lord. What do you do? How do you respond? The Bible says he strengthens himself in the Lord. And what I would suggest to you is that in this psalm, Psalm 22, when you hear him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where are you? Deliverance is so far from me. And then all of a sudden he'll say in verse 3, and go back to Psalm 22 now, he'll say, but thou art holy. You are Lord. Listen to me. When you strengthen yourself in the Lord, when you are walking in such circumstances that are so uncertain to us, I mean, when we are down and out, depressed, when there are things been taken from us, when we are struggling, I want to tell you the first line of defense is always, always praise. Always. But we have the tendency in our lives to grumble and to complain and to murmur. We murmur about God. We murmur about our circumstances. We murmur about the people concerned with our circumstances, involved in our circumstances. And I want to tell you this. The first thing you're to do is to praise your holy God. That's what he does. Listen, it's the same thing as Jesus said, when you're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's the first response. Not woe is me, not oh God. It is, yet you are holy. Yes, it's okay to say, I'm struggling here, God. Yes, I don't know where you are, but I'm going to declare your holiness. I'm going to declare your lordship. I'm going to declare your sovereign work in my life. I'm going to do it, God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why is this happening to me? What's taking place? But you know what, God? I'm going to stop here and I'm going to say, you are holy. And all of a sudden, you've got the first step in strengthening yourself in the Lord. You've got a new outlook. You're taking your eyes off the stuff, off the pain, off the hurt, and you're looking straight to Him and Him alone. Whether it's a flat tire, or whether it's a cancer, whether it's a small sickness, or something major, it always works to praise Him first. I'm going to praise Him. I want to tell you, you'll find strength endure. Second thing, trust Him. Put your trust in Him, not in your giftedness, not in your talent, not in your strength, not in your manhood, your womanhood, your education, your finances. You don't put your trust in any of those things. You put your trust in God and God alone. Notice what he says. He says, in you our fathers trusted, they trusted and you delivered them. They cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. You trust in the Lord. Now, what does this trust mean? What am I trusting in God? I'm trusting in a couple of things. The number one thing is you are not forsaken. You're not forsaken. You're not abandoned. God may seem far, but he's not far. If you're a believer today in Christ, matter of fact, he's right smack dab in the middle of your life. And so I'm going to trust that. I'm going to take my eyes off the situation. I'm going to praise God, and then I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to put my trust in Him because I know that I'm not forsaken. If you know Him, you may feel it. You may be absorbed with it in your pain, your grief, your sorrow, your failure, your past. But if you're in Christ, He has not abandoned you. And folks, there was a cross, and it was bloody, and it was lonely, and it was a mess, and it was horrific. It detached Christ from the life of God. It was hard. It was stressful. It was at times unbearable. But he did indeed bear it. And in that one moment, that one dark moment, when he bore your sins on the cross, and he spoke, my God,
Why have you forsaken me? In that one moment, because of your sin and your grief and your pain and all the junk of your life was hurled upon him. And he, in that moment, was indeed forsaken by God. In that one moment, he bore your sin so that you and I may never, ever, ever, ever be forsaken or abandoned. And that's what I trust in today. I trust in the cross. I trust in that Christ took my place on the cross. And all the judgment and all the wrath and all the pain and all the sin upon him and him alone. So that I could get to walk through life always having God available. Notice some scriptures. Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. You be content with what you have, for he himself has said, I'll never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Isn't it interesting that he would talk about money here, about feeling forsaken and abandoned? Because I think that most of us, when we go through struggles financially, we think we're abandoned. But notice what he says, be content with what you have. You know what I want to suggest to you? He's not talking just about earthly goods. He's not talking about just being content with your clothes or with the money that you have or with these things. You be content with Christ. He's your all in all. He's your strength. He's your life. He's your provider. Be content with what you have. Listen, he himself has said, I will never desert you and I will never, ever forsake you. Look at the next verse, if you would. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With everything that you are, you're saying, God, you're Lord, and I know you're going to take care of this. I know you're going to take care of this. Lord, I can't lean into my own understanding, because if I lean into my own understanding, I'm finished. I will grumble. I will complain. I will try to fix it. I will go my way. I will do what I want to do. I'll do what my flesh says to do. I'll listen to the voices that are speaking to me that are not good, that are not godly, and I will look for understanding in other places, and I'll not make the proper decision. So I'm not going to lean into my own understanding, but in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to say, God, you're holy. You're Lord. You're alive. You're in my life, and the Scripture promises that he'll make your paths straight. Look on the screen, Psalm 37:28. The Lord loves justice, does not forsake his godly ones. They're preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. First of all, I want to trust that I'm not forsaken, that I'm not abandoned, that God's not left you. You have not been forsaken. I want to ask a question. Hard circumstances right now? Are you praising and are you trusting? Are you simply trusting God? When I find this praise and I find this trust, there comes a point in my life and in your life when I begin to rest. I begin to find relief. I begin to believe. I begin to put my faith and my trust in God. And I begin to see God at work. He says, listen, I feel forsaken, but God, you are holy. Our fathers trusted in you. Lord, they cried out. They were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. What a great promise. What a great word. And I ask the question today, are you living this word out? Are you finding this peace and this life that only God can give as you obey and as you walk with him? There's a third thing. We just read it. First of all, we're going to praise him. Second, we're going to trust him. The third thing we do is we cry out to him. We do cry out to God. They cried out to God. I think sometimes in our greatest desperation, if we'll just cry out, if we'll just scream it out, somehow that's just an act of faith that just initiates the work of God in our lives. Don't be afraid to cry out to God in desperate times. They cried out, the Scripture says, and they were delivered. A fourth thing that I'd encourage you to do. You'll confess His holiness, trust in the Lord that you're not forsaken, that you're not alone, and that you're not the only one going through what you're going through. And cry out, but also humble yourself. Notice what he says. Verse 6. I'm a worm, not a man. Reproach of men, despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with their lip, they wag their head, and they say, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in it. So I'm going to humble myself. And say, you know, the great thing about humility is that it takes away all entitlement that you think you're entitled to. All the stuff that you're entitled to. And you begin to get this posture of saying, God, you know, I don't deserve this. God, you're holy. I'm just a worm. I'm a nothing. Now, I'm not talking about just beating yourself up. I'm just saying in the holiness of God, I got to recognize that I need my God. I need Him. And there's nothing that I can do to fix it, nothing that I can do in my strength to do anything. So I humble myself before God. And the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 5, that when you humble yourself before God, that God will give you grace. God will give you everything you need to walk out of this. Humble yourself. Fifth. Now, I love this part. See, verse 7, there's people, they're sneering at Christ and David, and they're separating their lip, and they're wagging their head, and they say, commit yourself to the Lord. Let Him deliver him, let Him rescue him, because He delights in him. This is the one time that I will tell you to agree with the enemy. Do what the enemy says. When he says, commit to the Lord in a mocking kind of way, you're going to say, okay, I'm committing to the Lord. I'm going to look at my life, I'm going to examine my life, and I'm going to find out what's missing that should be a part of my life, and I'm going to commit it to God. I want to ask a question. What area of your life is uncommitted to God? What are the areas that you've not surrendered to? What are the things that God's asked you to do that you have not done? What are the things that God has spoken to you time after time after time after time that you have ignored Him? Areas of bitterness and anger? What about areas of addiction? What about areas of lust, greed, giving, serving? The things that you know that God's called you to that you've not committed to the Lord, that you've not committed your life to. Service? What is it? Commit to the Lord. That's what Jesus said. I commit my spirit to you on the cross. I commit my life. I commit my circumstances. Everything of my life, I'm committing to you, and I'm laying it down. I'm laying it down for you. You know, there's one other thing that I want to say to you before we close, and that's found in just a couple of verses. I want to encourage you to look to a great future. And that future is found in your relationship with God, and it's also in relationship to the church. Look to a great future. Resolve that you're going to tell and you're going to praise and you're going to pay vows. In other words, you're going to fulfill the commitments that you've made. Notice what he says in verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I'm going to praise you. Verse 23. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him. Stand in awe of Him. All you descendants of Israel. For He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has He hidden His face from him. Verse 25. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear Him. And the afflicted will eat and be satisfied, and those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever, and watch, and all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship you. Listen, the psalm of the cross is the great sufferer Jesus who wins the nations. Who wins the nations. And all because he chose the first thing. He praised him. I tell you, you'll praise him first, and you'll end with praise. You'll say he's God, and it may be in the sorrow, and it may be in the failure, and it may be where you're all alone and you're bearing the cross, but you know where it ends? It ends smack dab in the middle of the church where you stand up and you tell of his glory, and you tell of his praises, and you speak well, and you pay your vows, and you obey God, and you fulfill the commitments that you've made as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a man in the workplace. As sons and daughters, you fulfill the commitments of God. You have a great, great future. Even when you think you're nailed to the cross and you have no hope, what we'll do is we'll praise Him. I want you to bow with me in prayer. I hope this has been a very practical message. It's something that you can proactively do right now in the midst of your trial. It's something that you can actively do. Now, what I'd like for you to do right now is I want you to identify what you're going through right now. What is it that you're struggling with? What is it that you're hurting over? It may be something small, it may be something great, but you're just hurting. And you're just struggling. And it's a cross. I want you to praise Him right now. Would you just do that? Would you tell God, God, You are so holy. You are so great. You are so Lord. Great and awesome are Your works. You never fail. You never forsake me. You've not abandoned me. Just say that. Speak that. Speak that in your heart. And I guarantee you, if you do that from your heart, you will begin to see it differently. You'll see it from God's perspective, God's eyes. Praise Him. Trust Him. You may hear you say, you know, I'm having a hard time trusting. Well, let me just pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for those who are having a hard time trusting right now and believing. And so I just ask, God, in Jesus' name, that You'd birth within them a faith to believe that You're not going to disappoint them, that You're going to deliver them. Oh, Holy Spirit, living God, fall fresh upon those who struggle in their faith to believe. Fill them, I pray. Fill them, and I ask that in Your name. We trust. We trust Him. Cry out. Get somewhere today. Cry out to God. Tell Him how you're feeling and ask Him to deliver you. Humble yourself. I tell you, this is key because the Bible says that God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And maybe you need to understand, come to understand that maybe some of the things that you're going through is just because of your own pride, your own arrogance. So humble yourself. Humble yourself by just saying, God, I need You today. I can't do this on my own. Matter of fact, Lord, I need You to do this through me. Whether it's in the area of forgiveness, whether it's an area of a sin or a habit or an addiction, God, come do this through me, because I can't do this. You can, and You can do that through me. Commit. What area of your life is not committed to God? Would you commit that area today, right now? And finally, would God be giving you a vision today about the future? A vision that says, I will tell, I will share. Lord, I know that when I get through this, I won't be able to fulfill the commitments that I've made and not turn back from them. Six things that you could do today when you feel abandoned, forsaken, in a trial, in a hardship. Father, I just want to thank You so much. So much for Your glory. So much for Your power. I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name that You'd come, that You'd minister life to us today. And Father, that the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh. And that, Father, if we're feeling this, if we're struggling with this, I pray, Lord, that we'd begin to praise You right now and watch You work. Father, come. Minister life. Minister life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org. Living on